For members only, Golf Smarter number 264, published on January 4, 2011.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Welcome to the Matty B Awards for the 2010 PGA season.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Happy New Year and welcome to 2011. Wow, it's January 4th already. Is it me or is this year just flying by? Once again, it's time to bring in our resident comedian and Boston sports junkie, Matty Blake, for our irreverent look back at the 2010 PGA season. Now, the PGA takes themselves very seriously, so why in the hell do we have to, right? Welcome back to Golf Smarter for members only, Matty B.
Fred, you know how I feel about you. Don't make me get all emotional on
And
on
don't
the
say
podcast.
It publicly. Dude, please.
I love you, and I love Golf Smarter.
Thank you very much. Well, this is 2011, a brand new year. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year to you.
And how was your Christmas? How was Max's Christmas?
Lovely. He's into the, I guess it's Japanese anime or Chinese anime. I'm not sure where it all comes from, but he's into, you know, Bakugan and those type of things.
Wait, he's like 4 years old or something, right?
Yeah, he's five.
He's five, and he's into mm-hmm. Japanese anime. Like, when I was in school, that was the nerds in high school that were into Japanese anime. I mean, how did five-year-olds now get into that?
I know. I think the kids – I know what it is. It's the kids – this is his first year in kindergarten, and it's the kids who are just above his age are into it. You know,
oh, and
first,
their parents were
graders.
The nerds in high school that we went
yes.
to.
Yes. Yes. So he's trying to emulate the second graders because that's the cool thing, you know.
Of course.
Uh-oh. So it's cute.
You're in trouble, man.
No.
If he wants to be like the big kids.
I know. He's ridiculous. He lectures me. I said to my wife, I'm like, God, times have changed. If I looked at my father funny, you know, it was over. You know, and Max will sit there and lecture me like, Dad, you're supposed to bring my milk before you bring my dinner. Do it again. I'm like, what? How did this happen?
My milk before my dinner.
Yeah.
Well, and New Year's 2011 is going to be an exciting time. You've got some really neat stuff coming up. Share what's going on. We're going to get to see you on TV a bunch this year, aren't we?
Yeah, hopefully, if everything goes according to plan. I'm a correspondent for a new show on Comedy Central that your listeners will probably see if they flick by Comedy Central. It's called The Onion Sports Network, and I'm the science and technology reporter. Which
Very
is
now,
it's
now the
it's
Onion,
really a send
the
up
Onion Network is totally irreverent, right? Yeah. And they just take a comedic look at everything. The Onion Report news report is hilarious.
Yeah, I've been working with them for off and on for like, well, I guess it's been a couple of years now. I did a few things on the web for them, and so when they were getting the show ready for Comedy Central, they approached my agent about me maybe doing some stuff, you know. They ask that funny question that people sometimes ask, like, hey, you've done some web stuff for us. Are you interested in doing some stuff on television? It's like, no, I'll just keep it to the web, thanks. Of course I'm interested. So it was fun.
So you're the science and tech reporter. That's I love it. Science yeah. and tech reporter for Onion Sports Network. So what, in fact, does that entail? I mean, what kind of things are you going to be talking about? But
well,
making fun of, right?
Yeah, it's based in reality. So, you know, as The Onion tends to do, they'll take kind of the zeitgeist of whatever subject they're dealing with and just lampoon it. So, you know, we did a piece on video gaming in the sports world.
Sure.
Which, of course, is huge.
Like you know what I mean? Like Madden 11?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So we did completely send that up. And it's, you know, making fun of everything from how that stuff is reported on to the people who play it, to the people who are into it, to the people who create it. It's just, you know, it's what The Onion does. They're like, I was saying to someone, you know, it's like National Lampoon was, you know.
Exactly.
Tony Hendra and all those guys. It's just that. And it's so good to be part of. It's funny. I went into ESPN this year for an interview with them to potentially do something with them. And I, you know, God bless them. I love them. But
I said, I think I'd rather make fun of them than be part of them, you know?
Do you really want to work for Disney? Do you really want to work for Disney?
Yes, Fred. Yes, I do. I love Disney. Disney is wonderful.
Okay. You need to put on the mouse ears. Yeah. And what else is going on? That's awesome. The Onion Sports Network. That's going to be so fun. When does that...
It starts January 11th. I'm in a few of the – I think the first season is 7 episodes, maybe 10. I'm in only a few of the first season. But hopefully if it goes to series next season, again, I'll have a bigger role.
And what channel is that?
Comedy Central.
Oh, Comedy Central. Very good. So, right, they see now The Hot One with Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, The Hot Network.
I prefer to call those guys my colleagues now, Fred.
Ooh. Where does that put me? A distant cousin.
Co-workers, John and Steve.
Wow. I'm in the same sentence. And what else? What else are you doing?
I hosted there's a special coming on the History Channel for any of your any of the Golf Smarter guys and gals who like gadgets and maybe technology or how things are built. Yeah, I think that kind of
are golfers that are online, so you know that you've got that leg up already. If golfers who are online that found a podcast,
right,
you know that they're one step ahead of the normal population when it comes to that stuff. So yeah,
that's right.
I'm sure we like gadgets.
We know you love gadgets and equipment, of course. So this is a show you might already watch called Modern Marvels on the History Channel, and I'm hosting a 1-hour special for Modern Marvels called What's in Your Pocket. And it's kind of looking at smaller technology, stuff that can fit in people's pockets or their little bags, things that they can help them do their job or live their lives. And it's funny. It's one of those things that sounds like, huh, that's a show? And then you start doing it, and the stuff people pull out of their pockets is fascinating. Really is.
Should be hosted by your mother. Look what I found in your pocket when I did your laundry, that's Matthew.
Exactly right.
or when you were 13, she would say, Matthew, stop doing that with your hands in your pocket.
Yeah. She said that a lot to me in particular.
Not in public. Go to your room and close the door.
She still says it. So that's a lot of fun. That'll air, I believe, March 18th. So you can be on the lookout for that.
Very good.
I'm on Twitter. It's at Matty Blake Actor, and I'm always putting little updates and stuff. And, of course, MattyBlake.com if they want to just follow my career. As a matter of fact, a couple of the listeners have friended me on Facebook from doing this podcast.
Is that right?
Yes.
Not me.
And I love it. I encourage you to do it.
They haven't done it to me.
Well, Fred, I'm the glamour one in this relationship. I think
But your Twitter handle, at Matty Blake Actor?
Yep.
Very cool.
That's it.
Very good. Well, listen, it looks like the guests are starting to arrive on the red carpet out in front of the building here, walking past the trash dumpster. And I guess it's time to start the Matty B Awards.
Yeah, the Matties are always big. Everyone have their tuxes on, I hope. As always, we'll entertain you. But I hope we can hit, I try to include the big storylines of the year and maybe a couple things that you might have forgot that happened over the year. So let's do it.
Let's go to the Matty B Awards for golf 2010.
Okay, our first award, the Matty for Rookie of the Year. Now, I know the PGA actually, Fred, gave this to Ricky Fowler, but he's won two other Matties this year, the prestigious Matty for Best Justin Bieber Hair and the coveted Best Use of Neon on the golf course. So I think I have to go out of the box here. My Rookie of the Year on the PGA Tour goes to Rachel Yucatel. Because seriously, who had more impact on the PGA Tour this year than the narcissistic collagen lip skank from the Big Apple who slept with Tiger? And you know what's amazing? She's continued her train wreck performance on Celebrity Rehab with Dr. Drew. If you've missed that, you should check it out. It's fantastic. But when you think about it, I was saying this to my wife, her banging of Tiger led to a wide open field and the world poured in this year. And now I get to say names like Louis Oosthuizen and Graham McDowell, and my favorite, Martin Kaymer. So thank you, Rachel. One can only hope that Tim Finchin in some way recognizes her impact on the world of golf because it's been tremendous.
Well, good. I'm glad. For a moment, I was thinking, you're going to the LPGA? Oh, that Rachel Yucatel. Okay.
That Rachel Yucatel, yeah.
Very good. Very good. Very good. Congratulations, Rachel Yucatel, for Rookie of the Year Award. Very good. A little golf clap for her.
Yeah, she's done fantastic work.
And let's hope let's hope she didn't get the golf clap. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Luckily, this is a members-only episode. Okay, so, and actually, the first members-only episode is not being shared with the free listeners. No more freebies anymore. So if they want to hear this conversation, they have to become members.
Buck up. Buck up, people.
2011, we're taking it away. We've given it away too long. No more for you. I don't have time for that anymore. It took me another half a day. Okay, now on to the best supporting actor.
Well, this is a big one. As you know, the Matty for Best Supporting Actor this year goes to Whistling Straits for its gripping portrayal of a Link-style course. Yet, in effect, it's like your local muni. You know what I mean? You just make up the rules, you go along. Like, yeah, you know that where the bum drags his empties in the shopping cart by the 17th fairway? Yeah. All right, that's going to be called a bunker.
In your like, classic whoa,
and no one knew what was what on that course. It was incredible. And, of course, we talked about at the time what happened to poor Dustin Johnson on that course.
Oh. Well, I think that we actually, after that conversation, we ended with six words on golf by Matty B, which was, if it's sand, it's a bunker.
That's right. That's right. So, yeah, that story, everyone said it even at the time, is that that course became the story of that major, which in my opinion, you don't want.
No.
I don't think you want that. So, Whistling Straits, good job.
I think the PGA may. I think, you know, like I've said for a long time, yeah. that they're advocates for the golf course, not the golfer.
Well, I would say the USGA, I think, definitely.
Oh, I meant the USGA, yes.
Yeah, the USGA. PGA likes to prop up their players. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think they do. They, well, you know, it might be even more accurate to say they want them to be the story, i.e. how they set up the course, you know, and their rules and the integrity of how they view the U.S. Open should be played. So I just think that's, you know, I'd rather just watch the golf and not worry so much about – I mean, we know the legacy courses, of course, are always a story, you know, Augusta, things like that, but – a new course like Whistling Straits should act like a new member to a foursome. Just be quiet and just be glad to be along for the ride.
Yeah, don't make the rules while you're, you know, the new guy never makes the rules, right? You just follow the rules.
Exactly, exactly. You're just lucky to be there. In fact, that reference I made to a muni is actually comes from my life, right? I used to play this course called Franklin Park in Boston or right outside of Boston. That's kind of one of the courses I grew up playing because it was like, you know, $5 or something during the week. And true story, I was lining up a putt with my three best friends that I grew up playing with. And one of them goes, Matty, hold on. And I go, shut up. I thought he was trying to like, you know, noonan me. I'm like, shut up. I'm putting. He's like, hold on, buddy. Just hold on. And two bums were walking across the green on my line, like between me and the ball and the hole, walk over my line, and they're walking to the housing project, and one of them's dragging empties, and he leaves this trail of, like, you know, beer juice on the green. welcome to Franklin Park.
Come on, they're not bums anymore. This is the 21st century. They're roof-challenged.
Homelessly challenged?
Yeah, roof-challenged, I guess. They're structurally challenged.
Domicilely challenged.
So I understand that actually for Best Supporting Actor, that was a very tight field before you came up with the winner of Whistling Straits. Can you comment on who came in second?
Well, it was tough. It was a tough one, but I was going to give it to the FedEx Cup. Because the FedEx Cup was once again. By the way, Fred, do you know who won the FedEx Cup?
Nope.
Exactly.
Okay. So you know what? Yeah, we're gonna you know, off the top of my head, no, I really don't. I can look it up, but that's no fun.
And this makes my point. I think we're going to give FedEx Cup actually the worst supporting actor because once again, nobody cares about this stupid award and nobody understands how to win it. You know, they gave it to Jim Furyk, and he basically the game player of the year because he won the FedEx Cup. And yet the most memorable thing he did this year was sleep late. I mean, how do you mess up your alarm clock? Here's a little tip, Fred. If you're 40-something-year-old man and you can't work your alarm clock properly, you know, your looping swing ain't your biggest problem. And this also sets me up to have to create a new category for 2011, the Matty for Worst Excuse for Missing a Tea Time because you're hungover.
And you know, you can always call room service, or you can call the front desk and say, call me and wake me up.
Yeah.
And you know, what's your caddy's job? I mean, come on, you're staying in the room next to him.
And then I love,
hey, we got to go. We got to go, man. What are you doing in there?
Ridiculous. This guy's been on tour for what, 20 years? And then if you do even a little cursory research on that story, he hosted it was the Barclays. I think it was the Barclays Challenge that he did that when he slept late. And he hosted like a dinner, like a kind of, you know, a dinner for the money people at the tournament. And it was like sponsored by Glenn Levitt, if I remember correctly, or some sort of whiskey or drink. And he was the host of it. So there's all these pictures of him, you know, up there with the booze on a table. And then that's the morning that his alarm clock suddenly breaks down. But they swear he didn't drink. But, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire.
And where's the PGA Tour and there's guys hanging out late at night? Yeah, well, and that happened in President's Cup. Wasn't there some accusations last year? We were talking about that with the President's Cup and Anthony Kim, who was accused of a little bit of too much celebration in San Francisco, if I remember.
And who said something about him and he got mad? Yeah. Was it Darren Clark, maybe?
Somebody from the other country, from across the pond. Yeah, it was one of the competitors was like giving him a hard time.
Yeah, and I remember he said, Allenby. It was Robert Allenby.
Mm-hmm.
Said something about him partying too much, and Kim just said, yeah. And Kim beat him, you know, beat him by whatever.
Yeah,
beat
him by just beat him to a pulp, basically.
And basically said he should worry about his own game and not so much what I'm doing at night.
And still, from my perspective, Anthony Kim wins the Deepest Voice for the Shortest Guy Award.
Oh, Fred, that's a great one. Hold on, let me write this down.
Next year's awards. And the Deepest Voice for the Shortest Guy Award goes to...
It's great. You know, it's funny how injuries impact the season. This is just a little serious thing for a second. I was looking. I saw Steve Stricker won two tournaments this year before he kind of had some health problems, which is amazing because no one talked about him. Everyone talked about him last year and how hot he was. But he won two tournaments this year. And Anthony Kim won the Shell Houston Open. And he basically had one hand. I mean, the ligament in his hand was just shredded. Mm. His thumb, I think it is, or his wrist. And he won that tournament. And if you remember that tournament, he was kind of letting go on his follow through. So,
right.
I mean, he basically won a tournament with one hand, which I think is kind of scary for 2011. I would not hesitate to put AK in my pools for the majors next year.
Mm. Will not do it. Mm-hmm. And now, is there, I'm just curious that you bring that up. You know, fantasy drafts have become so popular that in my family, we have a fantasy draft for condiments. And it seems like...
How does that work?
Well, you know, you get to pick a condiment, right? And so, like, the first thing to go always is hummus. I don't know why, but in our family, hummus, no matter when we get together, but hummus comes up in the conversation within an hour. No matter what we're talking about, hummus seems to be the center point.
Somehow.
So, you know, you mayonnaise, nobody wants mayonnaise. So nobody picks mayonnaise till the third or fourth round. And we just go around, like when we're on long drives together, a fantasy draft on, you know, all kinds of random things, but it always comes back to
That's great.
But fantasy draft for golf, does that happen? Because the season is so long, and really, how can you predict anything?
Well, by the way, I think we just, while we were doing that, I think we just pitched a show to the Food Network.
Oh, my God.
But that's okay. That's actually good. I'm on that. I'm writing a treatment right now as we speak.
Okay. Well, you know.
Well, I don't think.
My son's going to be your co-host. There's no question about it because he's great at that game.
All right. Great. You know, look, golf is probably, especially with Tiger down, you know, one of the hardest sports, if not the hardest sport to do fantasy wise, because I mean, you look at the list of winners just this year. All you have to do is look at 2010, since that's the subject we're on anyway. I mean, Jeff Ogilvy won a tournament this year, early in the year. And boy, wouldn't you think after 2009, the year he had, like, wow, he wins the first tournament. I think it's the SBS, if I remember correctly, in Hawaii. He won that pretty handily. And you're going, oh, this guy's on fire. And I'm going to put him for the Masters. And he didn't do anything the rest of the year. I mean, nothing.
He didn't set his alarm clock for the rest of the year, right?
You know, yeah. And who would put Louis Oosthuizen to win the Open Championship? You know,
Okay, you know what? I've gotten a lot of emails about that from people overseas. And it's like, you obviously have not been following the European Tour because that guy's a total stud. So yeah. I'll apologize for that comment. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and again, though, I don't know. I heard a lot of that after the fact, and I know I'm aware of who's good on the European tour, you know, and I still wouldn't pick that guy to come over to America and win.
Or yeah, excuse me,
go to England, excuse me, and win the British Open, and certainly not come to America and win something. But you know, he might. Point is, you know, yeah, Graham McDowell, Justin Rose won this year, who was doing nothing. Matt Kuchar was the leading money winner. Matt Kuchar was the leading money winner in 2010. You know, he won one tournament last year and won before that like 7 years ago. He was a dud. So, you know, good luck. I recommend the only way to do fantasy and golf, this is just my recommendation, is to just do a majors pool and to do it where it's one of those ones where you have to pick four guys and it's a combined total and you can't pick the same guy twice. Because that's the only real way. It's so arbitrary. I've talked to you about this a million times on these podcasts. Golf is so arbitrarily difficult and you don't know who's going to win any given week except for Tiger, Jack, Arnie, and maybe, you know, a couple others in the history of the game. So I say, if you're going to do fantasy, do a majors pool, do the four majors plus the, you know, the whatever tournament you want to throw in there, the fifth major, the Players Championship could be your fifth major, and just do one of those ones where you pick four players. It's a combined total and you can't pick the same player twice. I think that gives you your best odds actually enjoying it, because you're going to pick someone that on paper makes all the sense in the world that's going to win. And then, you know, Bill Haas is going to win. And you're going to be like, what? Ben Crane?
Well, I think that's a brilliant idea, Matty. And that is your assignment for 2011. I would like for you, for the first major of the year, when you get to Augusta National, you can start the fantasy pool on our Golf Smarter Facebook group. And you can organize that.
Oh, can I? I love it. All right. That's a great idea.
I think we should have a Golf Smarter fantasy pool for the majors this year, and you will be in charge of that at facebook.com/golfsmarter.
Done and done.
Okay. Our next award.
Oh, this is a good one. The shot of the year. I think this one is easy. I was going to make a cheap Tiger Woods joke here.
Who was in the category? Who's competing in this category?
There was a few great ones. Let's see. Ian Poulter hit an awesome shot, if you remember, at the Match Play Championship in February in Arizona. AK.
Really at the asking me to remember something in February?
sorry. I know.
I think I saw you this year, but I think that wasn't until August or something. It was July, I think, yeah.
The aforementioned Martin Kamer at the PGA had a clutch couple of approaches coming down the stretch there to win that. In the playoff with do you remember the playoff he had with Bubba Watson? But I think it's easily Phil Mickelson at Augusta. Shot of the year out of the pine, off the pine straw. What he hit, was it a 3-wood onto the green? Missed the eagle putt, but it didn't matter. I mean, that's one of those shots when you were watching it with the camera angle they had, and with it being Phil, and the beautiful part was that the coverage actually had time to process it. And Johnny Miller, I think, actually said, or whoever it was, actually said, like, Bones is trying to talk him out of this shot. You know, you knew that he was trying to get him to lay up. And he just fired it and stuck it. And it was just, you know, Phil being Phil. And I just think it was a shot of the year. Yeah. Congratulations,
Phil. The crowd goes crazy. Congratulations, Phil.
Now, this is a perfect segue into my next award, because Phil's our only multiple winner this year of the Maddies. The Rudy Matty, which is confusing, I know.
The Rudy Matty?
Yeah, the Rudy Matty. The R-U-D-Y Matty for overcoming obstacles.
I have a Rude Matt that's actually out by my front door, but a Rudy Matty is something else.
It's about as valuable.
Mine says, go away.
You can wipe your feet with either one.
Right, exactly.
But, well, I'm sure this is going to get back to Phil that he's won the Rudy Matty, and after he fights back the tears, he will realize what an honor it is to win two Matties in 1 year. He's won the Shot of the Year and the Rudy Award. I mean, who had a tougher year than this guy when you think about it? I was thinking about teeing off with him and, you know, next year, you know, at the end of this year and being like, you know, like, because, you know, the pros are such babies about so many things. Be like, oh, yeah, Phil, you know,
I am not feeling well this morning. I had to do a pro-am dinner last night, and I have a splitting headache. Phil will be like, yeah, well, my wife and mother-in-law have cancer, and I've got arthritis, but go ahead and take your breakfast ball.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's really not nice. I should get the Rude Award for laughing at that, but you're right.
This guy is a hero, and I love him more and more every year. And I know he does, you know, he does some things weird, but you got to love him. He's just, he's one of us. He does. He feels he's not one of us. You know it. Intellectually, he's not one of us. But when you watch him and you hear him talk and you see what he's going through, and didn't talk about the health problems till the very last minute when he had to announce it that he had arthritis. You know, he's just, I just love him. I root for him more and more every year.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Because, you know, I would have called that the, oh, you think you got problems award.
Yeah. Yeah. So fantastic.
Yeah. That's a great one. I like that one. Mm.
So now we move on to one of my typical Maddie categories that I make up based on the year's events. This is worst performance at a press conference.
An important award for the PGA Tour.
It is. Worst performance at a press conference is kind of the antithesis of the Rudy Award, and it goes to kind of the antithesis of what Phil Mickelson stands for. It goes to Tiger Woods.
I was wondering when we'd hear from him.
Yeah. Tiger won nothing this year, but he won the Matty for worst performance at a press conference. So congratulations to him. You know, I was watching this thing.
What specifically are you thinking about when you talk about it? Is the multiple press conferences, or is it?
No, the one with the fixed live camera feed, the apology press conference when he hugged his mother at the end in the hotel room. You know, I was like, who does this guy think he is? He's got a one camera feed that everyone has to, all the press has to hook onto, and it's invite only. Like, it's like an Obama press conference.
You know, at Disney World.
Yeah. And by the way, how nice of him to fill the room with, you know, with aggressive journalists who are going to ask the hard-hitting questions, like his drinking buddies from Stanford and some Nike sales guys and his mom. And his performance was terrible. Like, he was so dead-eyed and so – it reminded me – he, like, froze. It was soulless. He reminded me of Cindy Brady when the red camera light went on. Do you remember that episode when the Brady Bunch gets in the contest to win the money and then the red camera light goes on and Cindy can't talk? And they're like, Cindy, talk. And she's going, staring at the camera. That's what he reminded me of. It was like one of those, whatever.
Sorry, I missed that episode.
I didn't. And it's my career.
Maddie, get your hands out of your pocket.
Stop watching Brady Bunch.
Yeah, right.
It was awful. And it was, you know, it was one of those, whatever I have to say to get on with living my awesome life, apologies. And it was a weird setup, too. There was this – do you remember there was, like, inexplicably this big door to his left? Like, they had this camera angle from the left, and it was this huge door. And I'm like, who set it up? Who even set the camera angles up? Because you kept waiting for the door to pop open and, like, Long John Daly to poke his head through wearing one of those beer can baseball helmets where he stuck the beer through the straw. Like, hey, Tiger, the girls are in room 310. Sorry, wrong room.
I got the guitar.
Yeah, man, it was weird and terrible and insincere. And then he did this couple days after the Golf Channel. He did a stand-up right before the first tournament with one of the Golf Channel stand-up interview guys. I forget who it was. And just, you know, cold and calculating and no sense of humility. You know, answering any sort of probing question, even one that might – first of all, he picked the guy because he wouldn't ask any tough questions, obviously. But anything that even hinted at that, what's Elon doing now? You know, that's a personal matter. I'm not going to get into it. I've already said I'm not going to get into his personal matter. It's like, oh, you know, he's just – I thought he handled the whole thing terribly. And I still root for the guy when he's playing, when he tees it up. But
right.
Just a terrible year for him, and hopefully he can gain some strength – from it. I think what he needs to do is put down his guard and embrace not Mark O'Meara, but maybe Jack or even Arnie, one of the old guys who just reeks of integrity. And I know Arnie made his mistakes with the ladies, but Arnie at least, you know, knew how to put on a public persona and not have it come off like Tiger's having it come off. At the very least, he needs better PR lessons, even if it's not coming from the heart. You know, what he probably needs is a whole soul makeover, which he's trying to get, I guess. But I think he really needs to embrace one of the older guys who did it right and
because he handled everything wrong, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, you just got to do it the way you feel is right and hope that it comes off well. You can't, I don't know if you can get instruction from anybody else on something that's so personal. But yeah, while you're talking about this, I was wondering if, in fact, that at the ESPYs this coming year, if they're going to have the worst performance of a press conference, and it'll be between Tiger and LeBron. For his 1 hour special of
I'm
taking my talents to South Beach.
Tiger took his talents to South Beach too.
Yes, exactly.
In a way.
That's true. And that was the worst line of the year.
He took his talents to South Beach. He took his talents to the East Coast.
To Hooters.
Coast, to a Hooters in Spokane.
Well, let's leave him alone because it was just too painful all year. Let's move on to the next award, and that would be the
Comeback Player of the Year.
Comeback Player of the Year. This is an important award because there's so many opportunities in golf to disappear and then make your grand return. And the winner of the Comeback Player of the Year for 2010 from Matty B is
Matt Kuchar.
Yes.
He also won, you know, for the history books of the people who follow the Matties, he also won the Matty for best use of a first name last year. Now,
so it's Matty Kuchar.
Well, that's how I like to refer to him. Matty Kuchar.
Matty K.
Yeah. Matty K and Matty B.
There you go.
The PGA gave it this year to Stuart Appleby, but Kuchar, the reason they didn't give it to Kuchar is because Kuchar won a tournament in 2009. I think that's the only reason they could have done it. This guy... He won $4 million this year. He led the money list. Matt Kuchar led the money list.
Wow.
And
isn't that what constitutes winning the FedEx Cup? No, I guess not. Okay,
go ahead. See, there we go. I don't know. I don't know. And no one does.
Right. All right. If Tiger doesn't win the FedEx Cup. But can you name who won the World Series?
Not the Yankees. That's all I know. Yay, not the Yankees. What's their faces? Beat Texas.
I'm so sad.
God. Sam, your guys.
Yeah, San Francisco Giants. Thank you very much.
I was trying to put it on my head.
I just knew that the rest of the country had the worst ratings ever. No one cared at all about this World Series, and it was such a great. If you're a baseball fan, it was such a great World Series, and we, after 58 years of being all right. So Matt Kuchar,
gather yourself, friend. No, that was just a mental blank on the team because I'm staring at golf stuff. But that was a great World Series, and kudos to the Giants.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's karma for getting rid of Barry Bonds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I was not a fan when he was on the team.
Freed yourself of the chains.
That's it. And the steroids.
I also love Matt Kuchar, by the way.
It's really interesting. You win one tournament, and it's like, how can he be comeback player of the year? He won once.
Yeah, right. I know. This is a guy who was off the radar. He was seen as a failure. He was a phenom, a junior golfer. He went pro. They said he went pro too early. Then he won, and everyone said, okay, he's back. And then I think it was a seven-year drought, I think, and then he won again in 2009. And then he wins this year and wins makes the most money and just clutch performance after clutch performance. Always saw his name on leaderboards all throughout the year, making cuts, and he's got a flat swing. So he's got my name and a flat swing like me, and he's tall, so he wins it.
He's got to get something.
Yeah.
Every year for that, right?
Yeah. And he'll get a Matty every year.
Yeah, right. He's got to, just so you can say his name. And I'm wondering if anybody in the audience just noticed as well that you just said drought like a Canadian. Drought.
How dare you, Fred.
Okay,
how dare
you? Congratulations, Matt Kuchar, on winning the Matty B for Comeback Player of 2010.
Yes. We're getting down to it. We only have two awards left.
Oh, my gosh. Let's move on here. So with two left, we go to...
This is a very common award at award shows. You'll see this all the time. And I wanted to be a little more original, but I had to go with the cliche award that they give away at all these things, the Matty Award for Players Responsible for My Increasing Xenophobia.
Oh, a very common award.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And what exactly do you have to do to be even nominated to get? Because, you know, Golf Smarter was nominated and made it to the finals, yeah. but didn't win. But still, to be nominated for a player responsible for my increasing xenophobia award, what does that mean?
You have to defeat or crush my dreams of Americans dominating golf in every conceivable way. As you know, Fred, I'm wrapped in an American flag. I love my country. I'm very patriotic.
Absolutely. Hey, you're from Boston. And when you live anywhere in the United States and you study history, you study history of, you know, your area, your region, your state. Right. But when you grow up in Boston, you study history. It's history of the United States.
That's right. It's everywhere. It's all around us. We used to find we used to find musket balls in my backyard buried with a metal detector. And that's not even
– we get back to Maddie, get your hands out of your pockets. Play there with you your musket balls.
Mom, they're musket balls, I swear. This one, the Maddie Fern Players Responsible for Increasing My Xenophobia, is a team award. It goes to Europe for winning the Ryder Cup so handily and for winning three of the four majors. Now, I know Louis Oosthuizen is from – well, South Africa, is it?
Yeah, I think so.
Doesn't really matter. But let's just call everything that ain't America, let's just call, you know, Europe, like we play, let's just call it not America.
Yeah, no, I like ain't America. If you're just going to go with it and just be an American, you know, just going to be American, you just got to say ain't America.
Ain't America. Ryder Cup, President's Cup, all your cups. Davis Cup, that's tennis, I think. Just have it America versus...
back in his hands in his pocket again, playing with the cups.
America versus ain't America. Because it's getting confusing as to which band of non-American countries has to team up to try and beat us. You see? There's my xenophobia again.
There it is. So congratulations, the entire continent of Europe.
you're going to get some angry emails.
Yeah, and they'll be directed at... Maddie B is on the Golf Smarter Facebook group. You can send him. And his Twitter account is at Maddie Blake Actor.
And I'm proud to be an American.
American! Okay, it's time for American Idol.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the new hosts. We'll have to talk about that in 2011. And now for the final Maddie B Award for 2010.
This
the
is
category
the big one.
Is
Player of the Year. Yeah.
Everybody. Big one. Standing ovation for the nominees, which included.
I take this one seriously. We had Jim Furyk won it, actually won it according to the PGA. So he had to go top.
He automatic bid right there.
Yeah. Matty Kuchar,
because of his first name. No question about it.
Stuart Appleby.
Was Fred Funk or any Freds in there for.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's right. It's the Maddie B Awards. Okay.
We'll talk
about that for next year.
Maybe next year. I mean, maybe there's some young kid named Fred out there firing balls into the night who's going to be the next Maddie winner. But
all I know is when I was at the World Series, at game one of the World Series, and they started chanting, "Let's go, Freddy," I had my hands in my pockets. It was pretty good.
Your ears perked up?
Oh, I loved it. You know, and it even said on the little scoreboard signs, "Let's go, Freddy." I posted it on Facebook. I cropped it so it said, "Let's go, Fred."
That's fantastic. That's fantastic and kind of sad.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah.
So there were some good choices, but I say hogwash to Jim Furyk.
Yes, you have.
I don't think.
Multiple times already.
And now here I go, the complex person that I am. I just railed against how much I love America. But hold on, those of you who are offended, because listen to my player of the year. I think it's undeniably Graham McDowell. I don't think it's even close. And I'll tell you why.
Graham McDowell, yes, absolutely.
He was amazing.
Why is that?
Well, he goes to Pebble Beach and wins U.S. Open, which, you know, you think of the names who you think are going to win Pebble Beach. It ain't Graham McDowell.
Right. And, well, you're saying Pebble Beach and U.S. Open. That combination together.
Huge.
Has to have American right there. But
huge.
No.
And he did it totally calm and cool, clutch. And then he goes to the Ryder Cup and makes Hunter Mahan look like, you know, a 20 handicap. Which was really tough to watch. And Hunter Mahan's a grinder. He's tough. You know, like he's a good match player if it gets down to it. You know, in tournaments, he can throw it on you. And he literally looked scared and he chunked that wedge. God, that was hard to watch. And I know it's the Ryder Cup and it's an exhibition. But I know the PGA can't include it probably when they're looking at Player of the Year. But, you know, the Ryder Cup, the U.S. Open, those are the two besides Augusta, I guess they're the Masters, they're two of the marquee events in the golf calendar, and this guy wins them both. Or, you know, the team won the Ryder Cup, but he won the point, the final point, in dramatic fashion. And then he won a tournament, was it the Valderrama Masters? And then when Tiger, he won again at the end of the year. When Tiger starts finally looking like Tiger, he beats Tiger by draining two putts that Tiger used to hit on Tiger against. He used to do it against guys
in your face.
Yeah, at the Chevron tournament. So I think that sealed it for me when I saw him do that. I said he's gonna hit. I was watching it with Colleen. I go, he's gonna make this one too. And she goes, no, he won't make that one too. I go, you watch, he's gonna make this one too. You could just see it in his eyes. He looked like Tiger used to look.
Yeah,
and I just think he had the year of years. For kind of a journeyman from Ireland, he became the clutch golfer of 2010. So
absolutely, like the Heisman going to Cam Newton, just hands down, crushed everybody, including the Andrew Luck from Stanford getting second place, a distant second place. But Graham McDowell just leading the way.
Congratulations to all the Matty winners, and it's been a great year.
It has been a great year, and it was a great show. And, you know, we'd like to thank our sponsors and, of course, the Disney Corporation for sponsoring the Matty P Awards. Make sure that you tip your mouse on the way out. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again. And Matty B, brilliant work as always. Thanks,
proud
buddy.
Proud to be an American.
Okay, I'm not going to comment on the American stuff, but that's who we are. Just so happens that we distribute this program worldwide. So if you're listening in Europe right now or Asia and you're thinking, how come they only talk about Americans? Because that's where it comes from. What can I tell you? Hey, this is the last time I'm going to bring this up, so listen closely. Friday, January 7, if you're listening to it this week, your final opportunity to RSVP for our upcoming Golf Smarter Scottsdale adventure. Now, if it's after January 7th, the week or so after, this trip is happening February 9th through the 13th. If you want to try to get in last minute, I think we can make that happen. So contact me immediately. Anyway, we've been talking about this for weeks. I have introduced you to the courses and the people who run them, some of the instructors who are going to be joining us. And if you have somewhere else in Scottsdale, the Phoenix area, that you can stay but want to save a couple of bucks, that option is now available on the website. If you can't make it for all four rounds, we can do that too. So if the awful weather that plagued most of the planet during the end of December wasn't enough of a message to plan this trip, then all I have to say is, I'd love to meet you and play golf with you. So join me and our intimate group of Golf Smarter listeners from February 9th through the 13th. Take home some gifts, some photos, some laughs, and some great memories. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.